watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal, Season 1, City of... Whoa!
Whoa! This shit ain't nothing to me, man. I'm a dog. I'm biting the fart bubbles in the bath. We smoking okay. Symbiote.
All right. You can't do more than one. You can do one. Otherwise, it's going to be like 15 minutes of us quoting that. Okay?
Dude, you assume that we're not going to just be quoting it for the next 15 minutes anyway?
I just... No, because I've got to talk with you guys, because I think... We've had a running sort of inside joke that various other much more famous podcasts than us have been secretly listening into our recordings.
Yes.
Right.
Pre-recording.
It feels like several of the
pre-recordings. Point. Several. Actually, more than one podcast has picked up on themes, mm-hmm. Jokes, very hyper-specific references that we've made, and they make them weeks, months after we do. Sometimes uncannily so, but I think we have something bigger, which is I think Taylor Swift might be listening to our podcast.
What? Oh, because God, is it the crazy lyrics?
The Prophecy by Taylor Swift, which is, okay, interesting name, right? Obviously.
Sure.
Beautiful song. But my wife plays it for me, and she's like, doesn't this sound like City of Woe? And I was like, huh, there's some interesting stuff in there. For example, the bridge is, and I sound like an infant, feeling like the very last drops of an ink pen. A greater woman stays cool, but I howl like a wolf at the moon, and I look unstable, gathered with a coven round a sorceress table. A greater woman has faith, but even statues crumble if they're made to wait. I'm so afraid I sealed my fate. No sign of soulmates. I'm just a paperweight in shades of grage. Spending my last coin so someone will tell me it'll be okay.
Wow.
I mean, I mean, obviously there's the coven, right? But then there's the idea of this prophecy with the sort mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the female figure in the center, an unstable. I don't know. There's some stuff in there. And I'm not saying that Taylor Swift is listening to the podcast, but if she is, thank you, Taylor. It's very nice of you.
Welcome, Taylor. Welcome
three all. Out of the four of us, big fans.
Big fans.
Small to big fans, I would say. I don't know, Tyler, where you stand on Taylor Swift.
I don't care for her music, but I don't think it's bad.
Where are you standing on Taylor Swift?
Where?
let's all take a position on Taylor Swift right now.
Hold on, you gotta cut that out.
I'm gonna stand on our shoulders.
Yep, sorry.
We're doing the troll trench coat bit.
More like I wish you would stand on me, right?
Yo, oh. Got him. Same as Sigourney Weaver, my right fellas up top.
Fuck. Put that in your book hole.
That's someone's grandma.
Put that in your book hole. No.
I don't think Taylor Swift is a grandmother yet.
I know. I was talking about Sigourney Weaver.
I know, Noah. It's God willing. A joke.
Sorry, maybe her prophecy will make her a grandma.
Just like Taylor Swift's voice.
So much of this is going to cut out.
Yeah, just all gone.
I don't know where the transition is going to be.
Let's make it as awkward as possible for Dan to edit this.
So let me go ahead and all that banter that I'm sure we've cut aside. Let's transition into talking about last episode. Last episode where y'all narrowly escaped a tornado. Narrowly, maybe a subjective term there. You got to the mall. Contacted friends and family to ensure their safety. You guys, had a few theories, but you made your way to the Ethereal Essence Emporium, where you were going to speak to Luna, which was also hosting a little presentation of sorts on Care 4. You guys learned a little bit about Abaddon. You learned about the Nyagtha, right? These cyclonic spirits. After that, you met this Ronald Aguilar, who is a newcomer to Care 4, who was going to start running ghost tours in the town.
That son of a bitch.
You guys had a very interesting interaction with him. A lot of fun. A lot of fun for me to make just absolutely, awful NPCs that you guys hate and to go back and forth.
I love them, but I hate them at the same time.
It's, it's a perfect balance. I hope we always find someone just that we can all hate together. You guys were, you guys were pretty suspicious, obviously, of the Chief Anderson, and so you called up Detective Marr, and you were sort of discussing some of the things that you had found with him. His suspicious connections to the Riverbend Blues Lounge, the fact that he was being paid to keep an eye on Antoine. And that's kind of where... I tossed some notes in there, just so you could see, you kind of had narrowed it down to going back to the Riverbend Blues Lounge or finding a way to press the chief to give up some more secrets or information he had hidden. So I turn back to you guys. What are you doing? You're at the mall. You are, either still on the phone with Detective Marr or wrapped up that conversation. I'm fine either way. But you're in the Ethereal Essence Emporium. And that's where we are.
Well, I think we should head on down to Riverbend. I think that we need to stir up that hornet's nest a little bit more.
Okay. What do you mean by stir it up? Like, do you want to go in guns blazing again? Or are we trying to be a little more discreet?
I don't really know at this point. We know that What's-His-Face took a shot at a girl here, and I don't know. I think that all roads are going to eventually lead there anyway.
I agree. I do have one thing to ask. Joel, how are you feeling right now? Because you looked like you got hurt pretty fucking bad. From when you saw into hell. I'm not thinking straight, frankly, because I definitely do not feel like I'm 100% right now. I don't know if we're going to ever be 100% again, but we might want to get some ducks in order before we go storming the RBBL.
Listen, I'm not gonna say I'm doing fine, but I genuinely don't think that going into that Omaha Beach is viable for me right now. I'm hurting. Joel is at 7 out of 14 hit points. For those in the know. Joel does not look good. He definitely needs some rest. And I also wanted to bring up, I think we need to try and... I shouldn't say we need to. Joel wants to try and get more information on the chief and potentially be able to pin this onto him in a way that Detective Marr can use so that it's not just us. Like, we have the legal system also stirring the pot, if that makes sense.
So you want to try to apply pressure from both ends?
I think applying pressure through the chief to the Blues Lounge.
So you want to apply pressure to both ends of the chief? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep, sure, buddy.
I'm hearing too. I didn't realize we were going that route. All right. Well, yeah. I'll take the fun end, I guess.
No. So basically, I think because what's the rules mechanically for healing? You heal.
That's a good question.
It's a point a day, isn't it?
I think it's a point a day, I believe.
Yeah. Hang on. Toss in some theme music here. Welcome to Delta Green Rules Corner. Let me pull up my copy of the Delta.
It's the Delta Green Rules Corner with Dan.
All right, we get some theme music for Welcome to the Delta Green Knowledge Hour with Dan. All right, healing. There are four types of healing. We got resuscitation, stabilization, treatment, and recuperation. Right now, we are looking at recuperation. So over time, the human body repairs itself. You guys know this? You hear about this? Human body? magical thing. One patient who rests in a safe place with proper food and water can attempt a con times 5 test once per day to recover 1 HP, in addition to any HP recovered due to medical treatment. On a critical success, the patient regains 1d4. On a fumble, the patient loses 1 hit point.
There's also
treatment, right? Treatment is medical care in a hospital. I would have to go check my notes to make sure of the doctor's name, but I would love for you guys to meet that doctor again. That was a lot of fun. We could always go back to the Care for Medical Center, and you could have the doctor work on you.
But does he?
But you would have to explain to him the nature of your ailment.
What is the nature of your ailment? Are you physically hurt?
Ghosts?
Or are you like mentally? Yeah,
I mean,
ripped?
Ghosts are real now. We can just say it was ghosts.
It's both. I think the way that Dan described it earlier was that like I like basically tried to peel my fingernails off, like scratching along the floorboards.
No, I was bleeding out of my eyes and my ears. They actually did that of their own volition. You were in such intense pain
that
the muscles in your hand contracted so much that your fingernails begin raising themselves out of their own finger beds. So you are, I mean, you feel like you got hit by a train, I would say is the
ironic.
Most appropriate level of pain. Yeah.
yeah. God, that's okay. So, I mean, I think that's what we have to do. Is Joel needs medical assistance. Joel's not going to say he needs medical assistance, but he needs it. Otherwise, we're going to be spending at minimum a week of him sitting around, which is not viable for us.
We can go over to the hospital. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we can stop by.
Don't you have like an in-house doctor? Like a home physician? Somebody you go see regularly? Not just, I mean, because this is America. These emergency bills are going to start stacking up on you.
Yeah, also, ready.
That guy was really incompetent. Like,
oh, no, you came out on the other side pretty fine.
Cyril looks at Joel and then looks at it's like, really?
Joel, I have a like my leg still kind of hurts from that. Like I just barely did anything.
You know what's funny? So that ER doc was just doing like nighttime rounds, right? Mm-hmm. He is actually like he actually has like a family practice in addition to the work that he does at the ER.
And he's a dentist.
So he's like one of he's also a dentist. Or he's like he's also a dermatologist.
He's a chiropractor.
He's an old school barber.
No.
Hey, while you're getting your fade lined up, do you want me to pull out that molar while you're here?
I mean, that's up to you. I would allow for that to, you know, for you to go to a doctor and for him to, I don't know, do some wound care. I know Marcy gave a little bit right off the bat, but
I think that's probably what Joel would do is he'd probably have to wait till the next day just from what time it is.
Yeah.
And go there and just be like, hey doc, you know, that tornado kind of hurt me.
Oh, really? That's wow. Tornado, huh? Interesting. Huh. Well, God, it's not, you're not the first person to be hurt by a tornado, Joel. I don't know what's so important. Glad we were able to get you in today.
I know.
But let me take a look. And he looks at your fingernail beds and he's like, huh, never seen this from a tornado before. Interesting. He checks out your ears and your eyes and he's like, hmm. You know, I did a little bit of old school sort of doctor training when I was in medical school. And, you know, it's funny. You're like a textbook case for demon possession. Now, obviously, I don't believe that now. But it's just funny. Like, I used to have this textbook. It was written by some guy in like the 1650s. And I don't know. You just check all those boxes. It's the first time that you've ever looked at the diploma on his wall, and so you're like, "Did this guy really go to medical school?"
This demonologist.
Yeah, Joel is just smiling and nodding along, and just like, this town is fucked internally, like over and over.
Yeah. So, mostly a joke, but something does happen when you're at the doctor's office when the secretary checks you in, and she was able to get you in. I'm just going to go ahead and say we fast forward to Tuesday, right? And it was late Monday night when you guys went to the mall.
Yeah.
I assume you went home next day. You know, I don't know if you guys went back to Detective Mars or if you went back to your own places. That's up to you. We can always figure that out after the fact.
Yeah.
Marcy would have bought a new door and a cam to keep an eye on it. But she would have been trying to sleep over at Detective Mars again, because her home is not fucking safe right now.
Cool.
Cyril would go home and call his insurance company, which is the USSAA or whatever the veterans have.
Cool. So Tuesday, we get Joel going to the doctor. You called or dropped in, and they were able to squeeze you in. But as you were talking to the secretary, she had a moment as you were talking to her, a moment that you've become somewhat familiar with now, where her eyes sort of glaze over in black as she says something to you, and it jolts you just for a second, but she continues talking as if nothing had happened.
I was able to catch what she was talking about at all, or was it...
It was fairly normal scheduling and checkout, or scheduling type of things, but when she asked you if you were on any prescription medications, that's when it happened.
Okay, of course. All right. Okay. Yeah, I think Joel, like you said, kind of jolts for a second, but he's had worse things happen in the last 24 hours. So he just brushes it off as best he can and just, you know, answers like, allergy meds, and just goes on and fills out the rest of the form.
Okay, so let's see how Dr. William Anderson does with his treatment of you. This is treatment with medical care in a hospital or aid station. I'm going to count his doctor's office. He's got tools and medicine. treatment succeeds. Patient recovers 1d4, doubled with a critical. Fumble inflicts 1d4. Now he's got a pretty high medicine.
Oh,
he's,
God.
He's got... Okay, should I tell you what his medicine is, or should we leave that a surprise?
No.
Just...
Okay.
Keep it.
You'll just see the results here in roll 20. Oh, almost a critical.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's 12 under 80. He's a pretty good doctor, all things considered. So you get 1d4 back. Do you want to roll that?
You rolled it. You can have it.
Okay. 4 points!
See, this is why I have you roll it, baby. Let's go.
There we go. So, his pretend medicine school really got him prepped for this sort of treatment. So you roll out of the doctor's office feeling... you got back one overnight, right? So now you're 5 more. So what does that put you back to?
I'm at 12 of 14.
I mean, that's practically whole.
Yeah,
right?
You live forever.
Yeah. I think he's probably still sore, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you are still taking physical penalties. Probably, I say you're going to take it for the rest of this day.
Okay.
Just a minus 20 to any physical checks, just to make sure. You know that. We don't do a ton of physical checks, so I'm not super concerned, but just in case. You never know. You might have to, do one of a million things that could be described as a physical check. So what do Marcy or Cyril have any big plans for Tuesday?
Don't forget to increase your willpower points by one for one night's rest as well. Our willpower points spent from the fucking ritual we had to do that just tortured the shit out of Joel inadvertently.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was good times.
That's some times. Nightmare. Marcy is just trying to, like, talk to Detective Marr about nothing in particular. She isn't trying to, like, stress him out with anything and is just trying to avoid talking about what happened and what we're doing. Just being very avoidant. As little as she can.
Excellent. Makes for great podcasting, too.
That's a conversation with him about nothing. Seinfeld here?
You know, he leaves for work, you know, pretty early. So you might have a brief interaction at the breakfast table. His wife has cooked, again, scrambled eggs, this time leaving out the shells, though she continues to insist that this is the correct French way to do it. So whatever conversations you have are brief, and I don't think he's not pressing you. He's just sort of, you know, before he leaves, he's like, well, if you guys figure out any leads, I mean, again, I've got audit and IA on my tail, so I can't do a ton of research, but I can try and sneak some stuff past him, but otherwise, you know, I'm not gonna like put myself out too much on a limb.
I don't want to do anything that's gonna get you in even more trouble than you already are.
Well, look, I've got the union behind me, so it's really hard for them to fire me straight up. But you know, they could put a lot of pressure and make it miserable for me.
We'll figure something out.
Here's a question.
Real quick, can we move to Cyril?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You can do that real
fast. Yeah. Okay. Mark, what's Cyril doing?
Do you want to do this?
Oh, you mean this scene?
Yes.
Do you want to? Do you want to record this later, or do you want to record this with them?
We could. Hold on. Let's just do it later, Dan. That way I can tweak it. I could tweak what needs to be tweaked a little bit, and then we can go from there.
You could do it all. Honestly, if you just sent me the recording,
okay,
I would be fine putting that in.
Okay,
putting that in at some point
sounds good.
Right, just dropping that on our listeners. And
what the fuck are you doing?
That's gonna be fun. I'm so excited. All right,
so Tyler, sorry, you had a question.
Yeah. Okay. This would be something I would try to bring up to the detective before he leaves. I keep wanting to say sheriff. The police chief drives a Cadillac CTSV, correct? Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Yes.
That he bought for a dollar.
He drives. Okay. Is there? Okay. Detective Marr knows the highway patrol officer that stopped us.
Yes.
Can we have him? And this is Joel asking him. Is there a chance that you can contact him and just have an APB on a CTSV that is insert color here? And when he sees it on his route headed out to New Orleans, we have something else to go on. We can try and catch them together.
Tyler, that is such a good question. Go ahead and give yourself 1d6 luck, man. Damn. I love that idea. That's so good.
That is Boom. Really good.
Boom!
Yeah, roll for your luck.
Got one.
Oh, funny, nice. Funniest possible result on that roll. So one extra luck. And, so, you know, Detective Mars like, well, I can just like ask him to, I couldn't put out an APB. I wouldn't want anything like on paper. right? But I could just ask him as a favor.
Yeah, sorry. APB was poor choice of words since, you know, with your job description. I meant just calling in a friend.
Right, right. Yeah, I can do that. And yeah, we're buddies. I think he'd do that for me, no problem.
Awesome, yeah. And that gives us a little more leeway to try and figure out some other things that might be going around in town and not have to worry too much about trying to tail a chief of police of a small town. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of weird stuff around town, how'd that one exorcism go? You guys mentioned with Neil Smith? Is that his name?
Yeah. It went. He's okay now.
Do you figure out what caused that?
No.
Listen, I'm a detective, right? So I don't know. Just doing my detective work. That's kind of the thing that I would want to know, because unless like possessions are super common and happen for no reason, it may be worth figuring out what caused that.
You know, that's a really good idea. Boys, we're kind of fucking dumb.
Well, what? Tyler, you know,
no,
I don't know if you know this, but I specifically wrote the character of Detective Marr. As sort of like I'm not going to say he's a guide per se,
a nudge.
But there's deep and secret hints in his name that might relate to other media that might give you some indication as to his role in the campaign. Right,
the Virgil 2 hour.
Yeah, the Virgil to you all being.
Do I Dante? It's
idiots?
Dante.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Dante's Inferno. Yeah, I get it.
All right, just
no,
listen.
Yeah, I figured that out. No, I was just trying to not say it out loud for the listeners so they could connect the dots. And
I think most of the listeners have figured it out.
You, God, I hope not, because I would feel so bad and stupid. Anyways,
well, you know, whether or not you figured it out, there are some inspirations and themes coming from Dante's Inferno, in some of what I'm doing. So yeah, but one of the things that inspired me was just the idea of having your own Virgil for this campaign, and so I was like, oh, it'd be fun to make him a detective.
Having our own little bumpers at the bowling alley.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so he mentions that, and what else? What else do you guys? What else do you guys do on your Tuesday?
I think Joel has to go to work. I think he can't. I don't think he can get another day off. I don't think it's realistic.
You pull up and your boss is like, "Hey, it's my ghost boy. Hey, we got that glass in for you, buddy. You know, the same wholesale price. We don't charge you. You can do your own labor here, no problem. But man, you've been slacking on the shifts. What's been you been feeling okay? What's been going wrong?"
We've been going through it. It's been hard to explain. Listen, Sam, I can't put into words how stressful it has become knowing that you are the sole person that brought the paranormal to modern mainstream in real life. And it's I've had crazy fans, and we've seen other shit in town aside from at the manor, and it's been awful on all of our mental health, and I just needed an extra day. I appreciate you being understanding.
Listen, Jolie boy, there's hardly anybody who wants to work in this town. So, I mean, look, you are one of my best employees, and you didn't even show up for a couple days. What does that tell you about? What does that tell you about your roomie?
No, trust me, I'm not.
Do you know he walked to work? Do you know he walked to work yesterday?
Yeah, I know he walked to work. Yeah,
he walked to
yeah,
work.
Yeah, he walked to work
at a car shop. Do you understand why that's a little bit weird for me to see?
Yeah, listen, that's a long story. We had to spend the night at a friend's. Marcy was attacked, and we had to go incognitus for the night.
I understand. You mentioned there was strange happenings around the town. Aside from what you filmed in Care 4, what? I mean, are we going to see another episode?
I think so, yeah. I think we're going to try and put together a couple other little things.
I'm excited for that. Hey, by the way, no damage on our part from the tornado. We're all okay. Just thank you for checking in and asking, by the way, very much. I'm just joking. How often do we talk as friends? Come on. Now get to work, all right?
Yeah, not a problem. What do you need me working on today? And he'll go on to whatever Sammy had set up for him, if he has anything other than just normal daily duties.
Yeah, he's got pretty normal schedule for you. About 150 of those silencers that you got to make. That would be
that he doesn't know what
amount.
They are.
Yeah,
yeah. So fucking that crazy.
That would be insane. Just Joel, just absolutely building a secret, NFA armory.
Good.
But no, it's a fairly normal day at work, although you do find yourself getting tired pretty quickly. Just feeling a bit physically exhausted. And every time that you take a water break, Sammy's like, oh man, one day off work and you already lost all your conditioning, huh? Boy, howdy. You look like hell, man. You look how I feel.
I feel how you look. And he'll just drink the water and go back to work.
He gives like a really quizzical look for a second. He's like, okay. Heads back to the office. He's in the office with the guy who runs the cab service. The only cab in town that Marcy took home from bowling one time. The Brooklyn guy. Hey!
Hey,
I'm Brooklyn. Driving over here. Yeah, they're brothers. No, they absolutely are accent. Brothers. perfect.
Yeah. The kind of a big wheel owned by Sammy McCarthy and his older brother Tommy runs the only taxi in Care 4.
And underground weapons deal. That sounds right.
Yeah, listen, if you've ever been in a small town, that's actually probably not far from the truth.
You might say they're kind of a big wheel.
Boo!
We already said the name just like 10 seconds ago.
I know, but listen. Gotta get it out there.
Humor is when you repeat the same thing several times.
Can we explain why it's funny, too?
Yes.
Yeah, so the joke is that it's a double entendre and also a pun with kind of a big deal, but they work at an automotive
shop. He said it three times,
oh
the rule of three!
Oh, my book so hole.
That's actual comedy. Those are called callbacks.
Yes, callbacks. The thing that now are... now people on TikTok call Easter eggs. It's not an Easter egg if they mention it earlier in the season and then they mention it again later in the season. That's not an Easter egg.
That's not an Easter egg.
What?
This is just a TikTok thing. That's internet.
Yeah, that's called foreshadowing.
People are like, yeah, foreshadowing. People are like, oh, did you see this Easter egg in Fallout? And it's like, they explicitly talk about it. And it's a
did you
key
see
part
this?
Of the plot. That's not an
did
Easter egg.
Did you see the Easter egg with... Where the robot at the beginning of Fallout 4 is the robot you find after you get out of the vault? Ooh.
It's like, did you see the Easter egg where the woman in the recording for R2-D2, she's actually a prisoner in the Death Star? I don't know if you paid attention, but you might have seen it there if you noticed.
Did you see the Easter egg where that woman that Luke kisses in the next film is actually also the woman in the Death Star? It's crazy, yep. I know.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, the
callbacks.
So yeah, so you after going to your doctor, you show up late to work, but Sammy's kind of a cool guy, so he you get a standard day at work. your roommate Kian is there, and he's kind of quieter today. I don't know if you ever, you know, you guys don't work that much together. It's a lot of sort of individual stuff, not a lot of you know, group work. At the mechanic, Marcy is still at Detective Marr's house, although I imagine she could run back to her own apartment, take care of the door, that sort of thing, if that's what you want to be doing today, Noah.
Yeah, no, she would be taking care of the door and just double checking, making sure nothing was stolen, and just checking on her bowling trophies and her bowling gear, just making sure nothing important was stolen.
Okay, but I'm kind of curious over the next, you know, I'm willing to give you guys a few days, but is there anything that you want to get accomplished during the next few days?
Marcy is definitely also going to try to study some of the more esoteric books that Luna gave her.
Okay. Go ahead and make... How about make an intelligence roll?
Okay. I think that's the one thing Marcy is good at.
Nice.
15%. I was waiting to roll like an 86. 15 under 85.
Okay. So with the 15 under 85, rather, I'm going to let you roll... I think we're going to let you roll 1d6 and add that to your unnatural.
Here it comes. 2! Wow.
Okay. Now, none of you have any unnatural, except now, right?
No, I have a little unnatural.
Okay.
Yeah, same here. I think it's 3.
2%. Yeah, it's literally 2%.
Okay.
Got 6.
I just wanted to make sure, because next... You know what? Actually, do you guys want to do a downtime type of thing? Like, maybe that's what we... If you guys don't have any other big things to accomplish... Noah, would you like to make this a downtime activity? Would you like, is that what you want this to be? That seems like where we're naturally going. And as I've said before, you know, the downtime is kind of a fast and loose concept. So, Noah, I kind of like the idea of Marcy spending a few days into this, right? Do you want to do anything to... Actually, I think with the time that you're spending in here... I'm not going to let you do anything to bump up your SAN as a recognition of the effort that you're putting into some of the unnatural. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, she's still on that, like, she hit her breaking point the last time she dropped SAN. So she is fully just like, I need to learn how to divert tornadoes from attacking us, because that's the thing I have to deal with now. And she's just kind of chuckling to herself, like, she's clearly... lost it a good bit, but just trying to like learn as much as she can from this, and just going through it page by page by page, putting on some like dramatic music behind her just to keep her focused in on it.
Okay.
And also to judge the passage of time.
Excellent. I'm trying to think if there's anything specific that I want else for Marcy during this time. I think one sort of major activity is probably going to cover this downtime. You can obviously go ahead and click the advancement on your sheet.
I can?
Yeah.
Yippee. All right. All right, a bunch of skills went up just a little bit.
Cool. Nice. Any highlights? Any ones you're excited for?
Yeah, my firearm's at a 39 now.
Wow. Yeah, that's not bad.
Modern combat 43.
All right, Tyler, do you want to do your downtime now? You can do that as part of just your regular job stuff too. You know.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of some of the stuff that you might want to do, you know, you got fulfill responsibilities. That might be what you want to cover with sort of getting back to work, going to therapy, you know, staying on the case, improving a skill or stat, establishing new bonds, these sorts of things. And then obviously we have our, you know, indulge your vice which would be interesting.
Yeah, I think the one that makes the most sense is Joel's going to fulfill responsibilities. I think he needs the job first off, and even though he is funny enough, somehow the best worker at that shop, according to Sammy, he genuinely does enjoy it. So he's gonna do that, and I think during his free time, you know, when he's actually off work, is he's going to replace the rear windshield.
Okay.
Of his car, which probably like a single day.
Yeah.
Those are relatively easy. But he also would like to try and finish the rest of the book that Luna gave him.
Okay.
But other than that, that's really about it.
Okay, so that is kind of two things. But I do have, for the fulfill responsibilities, I'm curious, are you down on any of your bonds?
Am I down on any of my bonds? Yes, I am.
Okay, your max bond score can only be your charisma, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what the fulfill responsibilities is going to be rolling a sand test and then improving a bond on a success. So that do you want that to be your focus? Or do you, because it sounds like with the Luna stuff, it sounds like you might want to study the unnatural.
That's probably what makes the most sense. I forgot fulfilling responsibilities increases bonds. Yeah, I mean, Kian's down 4, but everyone else is still at max.
Okay.
So as long as everyone's above 10, I'm not super worried about it at the moment.
Okay. Before we move to you, I remembered something from Study the Unnatural, which is sort of what we've decided for Marcy and Noah. You need to lose 1d4 with a bond.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So as
makes sense.
As your
yeah.
So raises your unnatural skill.
Oh, I need to also lose for
a yeah. So okay. So go ahead and roll 1d4.
Ooh. Oh, 4.
Oof. So go ahead and pick a bond. Who basically, as you are studying this tome from Luna, what responsibilities are you neglecting? I have one that I think makes a lot of sense, but I don't know if you've won. I'm not going to force that on you.
I was honestly thinking she missed practice with the bowling team.
Okay. All right.
So, but what were you thinking of?
I was thinking that
Barnabas?
I was thinking that you might have missed a delivery for Barnabas.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, that seems to be... And also this may reflect the fact that you left town after Barnabas had really kind of recommended you not to. In fact, emphatically asked you not to. I think that's fair. All right, going back to Tyler and Joel. I think it makes the most sense for you to study the unnatural. And... similarly, I think it makes sense to... Let's give you an intelligence test on this.
Intelligence
check. And,
Right. That is Joel's worst worst stat. This is a straight 50-50.
Wow.
49 under 50.
Oh. Wow, amazing. Excellent.
Listen, Joel's not the brightest cookie. God damn it if he isn't tasty.
All right, so go ahead and roll metaphor. 1d6.
It's called a Malifor, thank you. sorry, you said 1d6?
Yeah, 1d6 and add it to your unnatural.
All right.
Nice.
Ooh, I got 6.
Wow.
And go ahead and roll 1d4. And that kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, the dice tell the story, but you've been doing a lot of, you know, astral projecting and, like, things that are pretty unnatural. Go ahead and roll 1d4 and pick a bond to subtract that from.
I got a 1.
Wow. Just
hot and cold. Sorry, Noah. Tyler got all the dice like tonight.
Everything's coming up, Joel. I'm going to put this on Clementine, actually.
Okay.
And my justification for that is... I think his number one priority in his mind, obviously... is to bring back what remains of Clementine. Because there's like this whole idea that maybe part of her is still wherever that dark place is, where we found her originally when she got salt vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's less that he, that this is representing that he cares less about her, but more that the her that is here is not the her that he knows or he thinks he knows. Or sorry,
okay.
What he thinks is here is not the his sister that he knows.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of like this, echo of her, and that's kind of my justification for it.
Okay, I like that. Mark, I would like to roll your scene into downtime. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, I will still have you record that or
okay.
Otherwise, but. Can I say that nothing happens Wednesday of note? You don't hear of anything. There's nothing. But Thursday, Mark, you get a knock on your door from Detective Marr.
All right. He'll open the door. Why, Detective? What do I owe the pleasure?
Detective Marr puts his hand up on the frame and he's like, hey, look, I really hate to do this.
Sure.
But, listen, I don't know what happened exactly during the tornado, but, apparently you sideswiped a truck.
Oh, yes, I did.
And you kept driving. And unfortunately, that is a hit and run under.
Oh, my God.
Law. Yeah. So look. Person just wants you to pay, willing to go through insurance, willing to sort of sweep this under the rug.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, we were running for our lives from a tornado. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like I hit and ran and was like, oh shit, I should probably step out and put my insurance information on this car that I hit while a F3 category tornado is bearing down on me. I mean, that's a little, act of God and whatnot.
Yeah, but, it's still your car hit their car. That's
fine. I'll have my insurance. I'll give them whatever information they need.
Okay, well, listen, I just wanted to deliver this personally since I saw it come across my desk.
Well, I appreciate that.
Listen, you guys are keeping a low profile.
I mean, we're certainly trying to lay low. I mean,
no issues. Because I got to tell you, Chief's been weirder and weirder.
Yeah, he was very weird when we were with him, muttering under his breath some sort of Abaddon, some sort of demon invoking some. He was very strange.
Yeah, he's been doing that. His wife's been coming around the office a lot lately, like lunchtime type stuff, and it's strange. I feel like a bad detective now because I'm only noticing this now, but she's been coming by a lot lately. Over like the past like year, she used to not visit him at work. Now she visits him at work. You know, some mornings he's late. He's always eager to get home. Like, obviously that's not a bad thing, right? To necessarily. Right.
No. But,
it's been strange. And,
we've told you about what we found, right?
You mentioned some of the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we found he was working as a private eye, kind of on the side for Riverbend. Yeah,
I gotta be honest. That's not. Police working, part-time for someone else.
True. But he's getting a monthly stipend of 27 grand every month. How many PIs do you know that make that?
That's a lot.
Right. So there's something going on there. I think they're trying to infiltrate CARE4, to be perfectly frank about it. I think he's their way in, and they're trying to establish some sort of foothold here, because I think that, well, from what we know with our little friend out at Florzon Manor, this place is powerful, and people have been trying to get in here for years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked up on that. How's that guy anyway? Big G.
Oh, Big G's just fine. As far as I know, we haven't really been out there. I suppose one of us should head on out there. I know that him and Joel went cell phone shopping together. So maybe Joel should go out there, but you know, I could stop out too. We were supposed to keep people off his back, but it doesn't feel like, I mean, other than some Ponzi scheme motherfuckers here trying to crimp our steez, I'm not too happy about that, but there's not much else going on.
Heard about that guy, he's giving out tours in a big old, you know, one of those 18 passenger Mercedes vans.
Yeah.
I don't know. People will pay for lots of stuff that I don't understand.
They will pay for it in one way or another.
Are you threatening those people?
I'm not.
Are you threatening him?
What? No. Come on, detective.
You understand what you just said sounded very much like a threat, though, right?
You said that the people will pay for things, and I agreed with you. I don't understand.
No, I said it in the way that you exchange money for goods and services.
Listen.
And you said it in the way that, you know, you're going to settle the debt, sometimes with fists or violence.
No, I would.
You heard the tone in your voice, right?
I mean, you heard the tone in my voice.
Did I point out
speaking
did
perfectly
I point out that
naturally.
I'm a detective? Okay.
Okay. Right. I don't know what the problem is. You said that somebody will pay for those things, and I said, yes, somebody will pay for them. I don't understand how that can be misconstrued.
It's because of the implication.
Okay. Well, I agree to disagree.
All right.
Listen. I mean, I don't know what...
I'm just saying, if I said it, you know, people will give up their money for anything. What would you say?
I would say people would give up their money for anything.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, awkward as usual, Detective Ma. I don't know why you can't just chill.
Do you not like me? Do you not like me?
Well, I inherently don't trust cops. I'm sorry. Okay. That's just the way it is. It's just I don't trust you. And we've been through a lot together, and all you ever do is like you're suspicious of me, and I don't understand why. Everything I say, you take the wrong way.
He says, you know, I got to admit, when I maybe have some biases. Look, you're an attractive single dude.
Thanks.
You live alone.
Yeah.
Run a photography studio. I don't know if you know this, but you kind of fit a profile.
A profile of upstanding citizen of careful who's lived here his whole life and his community and has served his community and his country. You mean that profile?
Yeah, let's call it that profile. But I'm trying to get over it. All right.
What profile do I fit?
You fit the profile of the person that people talk about on the news and say, well, he was always such a nice guy.
Oh, well, that's the I am a nice guy. I don't know why everybody's trying to always label me. It's been like that my whole life.
He shrugs his shoulders and he's like, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Are we done here, Detective? Is there any more questions you'd like to ask me?
Yeah, I just need you to sign this. And
fine, and I will get the insurance information to whoever needs it. I just thought we had a relationship of mutual respect, but I guess I'm just always going to be some sort of suspect, so that's all right.
Well, I do respect you. I need you to know that I do respect you. I have gained respect, and I want you to know that I am actively overcoming my biases.
Mm.
And also, you kind of did throw shade at my wife's cooking, so...
Listen, I don't tolerate eggs that way. There's no reason.
It's the French style.
No.
It is the French style. And as you guys are having this argument, this is Thursday. Thursday, roughly in the afternoon, I would say, he starts to get a call. And he's like, sorry, can I have one moment?
Sure.
And, picks up the phone. He looks at the ID and he's like, oh, okay. And he picks up the phone. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's super helpful. All right. Take care. And he looks at you and he says, hey, I don't know if you knew this, but yeah, you probably knew because Joel was talking to me. But the chief, his Cadillac was spotted going to New Orleans. You guys interested in that still?
I should say that we are.
Well, maybe worth checking out.
All right. Well, I'll call my fellas and we'll head on down there.
All right. And he grabs up all his paperwork and heads out the door, back down to his car, and heads out. How do you share the news with the Phantom Finders?
I'll call him up and let him know. I'll text Joel first. I'll put him in our group text and be like, well, the chief, you know, chief's been seen on his way down to New Orleans. If y'all want to go down there, we can do it.
Joel will text back. Yep, I'm off at 3. We can rush down as soon as I'm off.
All right. And then I don't know what Marcy has to say.
Shit. All right. I'm in. Just let me know when.
Right now. We're leaving now.
Okay, I'll pack
something. Joel's gonna bounce out of work early. Those silencers will make themselves later.
Marcia just shows up in random clothes with a bowling ball. I didn't know what to bring.
She's got footy pajamas on.
I guess I do want to ask what y'all are bringing on this trip. Let's wind up this episode.
A bowling ball and footy pajamas.
Let's wind up this episode with a little packing list of what you guys are bringing, presumably to follow the chief to the presumably Riverbend's Blues Lounge. He might just be going to New Orleans for no reason. You never know.
So, hold on a second. Do I get anything for my downtime?
Just one.
I just got yelled at by a detective. That was what I get.
Hey.
I indulged a vice. I mean,
I believe that your scene will count as indulging a vice, right?
Yeah, probably.
That's yeah. We'll handle that later.
Okay, just check it.
If you want, we're gonna get out. If you want me to run it with you, or if you just want to record it on your
own, I'll record it on my own. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And
are we finally gonna get the hot one-on-one Mark Cross Dan fanfic I've been writing for the last 3 months?
Yes. Damn it.
Tyler, it's going to blow your mind.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to blow more than just my mind, buddy.
Oh, boy.
All right. I want to know, you guys bring in guns, you bring in ghost equipment, you bring in which cars.
We're bringing ghost guns.
Let me know. Ghost guns. All right.
Ghost guns.
I think we already made that joke with the...
We bring Glomus.
Bringing Glomus.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no.
One entire ghoul.
I think... So, obviously, Joel still has the handgun we got off of the floor.
Yep.
Of the Riverbend Blues Lounge.
From Tony Black?
Yes.
Or from Marcus Johnson. Marcus Johnson.
From Marcus Johnson, yeah.
Marcus Johnson, sorry. So he's gonna bring that. He's gonna bring a Bible.
Okay.
And he's definitely gonna just bring as much, sage to try and smoke out. Basically, things that will hopefully fend off and be of some use aside from the physical.
Okay. No, is Marcy just bringing the bowling ball?
Yeah, but it's also a hand grenade.
Okay.
Cool. No.
It's an unwieldy hand grenade.
Weighing between the hands, a bowling ball, or a single hand grenade. No. She's going to, like, try to find a better firearm than the Kimber that jammed on her from last time.
Okay. I believe we've gone to the gun store before.
Going to try to get, like, some protective gear. She's going to get some protective gear to, like, cover herself as best she can, and maybe a little bit of a light disguise. Maybe we don't go in as obviously ourselves.
That was something I wanted, that I was going to bring up as well. We definitely should not take the Z. That's just going to get spotted a mile out.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to take Cyril's truck?
That's fine, yeah.
I don't think so. But I think Marcy would bring it up later to be like, I don't think we should go as ourselves. I think we need to disguise to some degree, just so that way this doesn't come back on us even more than it already probably will.
I suppose you're right.
I, for one, am going to be wearing body armor if I can find some. I don't want to get shot again, Cyril.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, but we need to think of how we're going to get in there, because even with disguises, they're going to be able to sniff us out, I think.
Okay, we kick in the fucking door and get right where we need guns to go.
Guns blazing.
Take out whoever right. we need to. I don't know, Cyril. We just need this to be done.
The chief is in there, we're going to have to figure out some way to infiltrate the place without, you know, because he could just slip out the back or something like that. I don't know.
If the chief's in there, he's probably ranting about Abaddon or other insane shit at this point. We might be okay because he might be weirding out everyone else in there.
You see Joel's, like, ... for a very long time. As the bickering is back and forth, as he's just like getting ready to send, and then someone's like, fuck, all right, gotta add this. But basically, Joel says, why do we have to go in?
Well,
do you want me to roll a bowling ball grenade in there?
We can hopefully, potentially,
call a tornado down?
Spy on him while he's inside and we're outside a block away.
How are we doing that?
Give me a mirror.
Oh, I see. How good are you at that?
How good? You when Babe Ruth points out into the stands, you don't ask him, well, are you sure about that?
Yeah, but Babe... But
Marcia just sends Joel, ... You just saw into hell and it went so bad.
Not
man.
Only that.
Yeah, that was a different thing. Listen,
it went so
your
bad.
Your Babe Ruth analogy is really falling apart too, because he was a 400 hitter. So it's, you know, it's like...
Joel just respond. I don't know what a 400 hitter is. Listen, I'm confident as long as they don't have a way to prevent me from doing it, I can at least see one side of the conversation.
Oh, all right.
This is a very funny. It just snaps back to Joel's going crazy again.
in a beat up pickup truck. So, yeah.
Yeah, Joel is confident that in his ability to scry, ash project, whatever it's been officially called. Because what happened with the Ouija board is a whole other beast in his
is there life. Things we can do to help you to, like, get into some sort of trance so that we could, you know, aid this check? Like, is there things that Marcy and I could do?
See, that's something I have to ask God. God, damn.
Dear Jesus. Yes.
Is there stuff that they could help with? Like,
should I be, like, giving them a back rub?
I know it's very... The way that we've kind of flavored it, I don't know if there is a way that they can really help too much, because it's kind of meditative, almost.
Yeah.
Would a bigger mirror it would help?
It would be hard. Yeah, a bigger mirror. I think what they could do is potentially...
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah,
here's
go
a
ahead,
question.
Go ahead.
Do we have... We still have the piece of paper from his house, right? Saying that he's getting paid from the Riverbend
Blues. I don't think we actually ever...
I was just trying to think.
I don't think we took those. I did not take them for sure because I didn't want to...
We didn't take any.
Yeah, I didn't want to disturb anything to, like, tip him off.
Okay.
No, but, you know, what would help is if you had something of the chief's.
Okay, so here's my... This is what I was going to bring up. I do have someone's firearm.
True.
That's true.
So, maybe we shift from focusing on the chief and try to watch him instead.
Try to focus on Marcus Johnson in the skin of Tony Black last time you saw.
Or whoever it is in the end, yes. But just basically just trying to keep an eye on him until those two cross paths.
Now, I'm assuming you'd want to get to New Orleans and hang out and do that.
Yeah, or yeah, like do that, or even hell, even do it like when they're 30 minutes out from New Orleans or something like that, like as we're getting there.
Okay.
Or Joel could ask them, or you guys could find something of the Chiefs.
Is he a blood donor?
Is he a blood donor? Yeah, I mean, police chief's got to be kind of right.
Right.
Sure.
No, that is a that is not a necessity for us.
He says he's a blood donor.
I'm just saying.
It doesn't have to be his blood.
Listen, he's a chief of police. He's one step below politician.
Yeah.
He's lying about it. That's true. Be real.
He's keeping all his blood.
But no, I mean, we know where he lives. Mm-hmm. We know someone who works with him. I know it's going to be a little harder to do that, but, you know, just find anything that is directly connected.
Can we just bring his wife?
You know what would be funny? Steal that fucking cuckoo clock.
Well, yeah. I just had this image of Cyril banging his wife while you're doing a seance. That was...
Yeah, Cyril's banging his wife as I'm scrying, looking into the eyes of the cuckoo bird at 1 p.m.
Ugh. All right. Well,
we're fully off the rails now.
I never got a full answer for what you guys wanted to bring, but I do need an answer for: are you guys breaking into the chief's house? When do you want to scry? And when do you want to leave for New Orleans?
Cyril is bringing guns. He's going to bring at least a gun. He's going to bring his Organite. And he's just going to wear a casual outfit to try to not look like himself. He may even shave, like, his face.
Okay. Nothing else?
I mean, I would probably bring some security, like, some cameras if we're going to go. That way we can at least keep an eye on the front door if we're not actually going to go in. And then I would probably bring a spirit box because it has been our key to... Unless Marcy has those. I don't know who has those, but... It's been, like, our key to figuring out certain things. You know what I mean? So.
Okay. Give me an intelligence roll for Cyril.
Holy, Cyril's a fucking idiot. It's
80%. Or 80.
Cyril, Mark, I just want to make sure you have in Cyril's inventory the piece of metal that you had.
Yeah, I absolutely do. Yeah.
Okay, because you didn't mention that. I just want to make sure that's one of those things that I just want to make sure that you've got, like, on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he would have it on him. I just assumed that he did have it on him. He wouldn't.
Okay.
Because you said it was, like, hand hand-sized, right?
Yeah,
he would have it on him.
Listen, I wanted to make sure that I'm bringing that up.
Yeah.
It may be nothing, right? But I remembered it today.
Right.
And so I wanted to make sure that y'all remembered it today.
Yeah, no.
Because... There are probably more than a dozen clues that I've completely forgotten about. And so when I remember a clue, I'm like, I should probably mention that to these guys.
No, I did. It is on my character sheet. So I'm all, okay. I have it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. What else? Okay. So you guys want to head to New Orleans?
I'm just going to ask it because Joel basically thinks that we should go as soon as he's off work. So, like, okay. Have Cyril come pick him up. Is Cyril doing...
Sorry, Noah, where do you think Marcy's going to source some body armor?
That's an excellent question, Dan. I think she's just going to buy the closest thing she can.
At the gun shop. With
like, whatever.
Really heavy jacket.
A pretty heavy jacket.
A really heavy jacket store. With multiple books
just a plate carrier with no plates. I bet the gun store would have that, right, Taylor? Yep. That's...
I mean, that's a pretty sick-ass gun store. I'm not going to lie.
Just the plate carrier you think they wouldn't have?
It depends. I know that they exist, but none of the ones in my city.
Expensive.
Do. Yeah,
they're duct taping like textbooks around her body, like
okay,
to the like four in the front, four in the back, and just like layering them as best she can, and just trying
four
to
college if you, textbooks.
If you are willing to do that, then I will give her. I will give Marcy plus one. Plus one armor.
That's all I want. That's all
and
I
just,
want.
I just want fan art of you wearing four textbooks.
Well, it's like four, like two, and then a stack above them, two. Not like two layer.
I'm
two.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. If you try and sneak anywhere,
it's a stupid.
Very, very funny. Okay.
Oh yeah, no, I don't imagine Marcy trying to sneak anywhere. I think we're just right. Marcy wants to just kick the door in and just fucking go.
All right.
Like just. Get this done. Get this done.
Sounds like a plan.
Does it?
All right.
It sounds like a plan. We have a wizard plan, we have a rogue plan, and we have a fucking kick the
door. I'm all for the kick the door in plan. I think we should do it while people are in there.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
The three famous people should go in.
I think we should go in there when there's a crowd. That way they are also beholden to some sort of crowd.
Unless they're all on payroll, which would be very funny.
Yeah.
Even worse, we could fake like, oh, there are ghosts in here. Everyone needs to leave. Oh no, there's ghosts in here. Everyone needs to leave.
We could also play off as being friends of the chief. You know, we could walk in there and be like, oh, look who it is. It's Chief Anderson. And you know, what is he going to do? Unless he's really into it, but you know, I don't know.
That'd be so funny. Oh, it's the Phantom Finder! If he just completely 180s from last night.
That would be very funny. Okay, so Thursday, Joel gets off work at 4. Marcy has gone and rigged up her own body armor. More or less. Yes. Sorry, if you haven't advanced your skills... Tyler, I don't think Joel did, but Cyril.
I hit the button. I assumed that you gave it to me. Yep. I'm sorry. I guess I should have waited.
Nope. Go ahead. And we will head to New Orleans. Everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
At what point, Tyler, does Joel want to scry on the chief or Marcus Johnson?
Okay. We did not get anything from the chief, so I think...
You have some time in case, Cyril, you want to be an E and...
I mean,
grab the cuckoo clock?
I mean, we could, unless there's something more... unless maybe Detective Marr can, like, swipe something off his desk or something, I don't know.
Are you going to ask Detective Marr?
Probably not. He doesn't like to know what we're up to. He hates knowing, and I don't really want to talk to him again. So, why don't we just B&E the cuckoo clock if we can? Although, yeah, is the cuckoo clock connected to him or his wife?
It's connected to them both.
Okay. Yeah, let's just B&E the cuckoo clock. A phrase I never thought I'd say in my whole life.
So you do notice that the wife isn't home, first off. The front door is locked, so I don't know if you have a lockpick or if you are just busting through. Go ahead and give me that roll.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what skill you're doing.
I don't really know either. Let me see here.
If you're using a gun to shoot off the lock, you can just do that.
No, I'm not doing that. I am doing. Can I do stealth to like try to open the door?
Absolutely.
Let's try that. And that's a big failure.
Yeah, the door's not given, unfortunately.
All right. Am I the only one here doing this?
Marcy, do you want to come? Do you want
to be an E with me?
She's busy making her plate armor. Yeah.
Oh, so I'm the only one here.
Book armor.
Yeah, I think you're the only one who has time.
Well, then, because there was a scene where somebody saw me through the window of the office. Can I like just break that window and go in?
Yes, you can.
Let's do that. Okay. I'll break the window. I'll run in. I'll yank that dumb cuckoo clock, and then yoink it out of the building and hop in the truck and speed off.
Make me one quick alertness roll while you're inside the office.
I will spend 2 luck to make that a success.
Thank God.
All right, then this is where we're gonna wrap this up tonight, guys. Cyril, break the window, get in the office, grab the cuckoo clock. As you turn around to get back out the window, you notice that the chief's desk, the locked drawer, is wide open. It's one of those sort of roll-out drawers.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that the last time you were there, you forgot to lock it when you put it back. Or at least you have no memory of locking it.
Yeah.
And there is nothing in the drawer. It is completely empty.
Got it.
As you make your way back out into the truck with the cuckoo clock.
Yeah. All right.
And that's where we'll pick up next week.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for tuning in once again to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. Thank you to Arc Dream Publishing for Delta Green, this role-playing game. And shout out to them for their great work with the Delta Green creator community. Check the links in the show notes for a list of Delta Green podcasts. And make sure you check the Delta Green RPG subreddit for more information and what they do. There's a lot of stuff that they're publishing here pretty soon, so I'm excited for new books. And we might take a little break from this story and do some, you know, Delta Green more official, you know, non-homebrew stuff. We'll see. Shout out to Ponzer Kings for Cassidus, this theme song, which perfectly fits this campaign. Really enjoyed it. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes or podcast app of choice. And if you do, send us a message. We've got our email in the show notes. And you can include an NPC idea, you know, give me a name, description, what they do. We can slot them into Care 4. We would love to have y'all give your input for this campaign. Hope you're enjoying it. We'll see you next week.
Ooh, that's a bold take.
I am cutting that out of this podcast, Noah. What is that?
Yeah,
Noah, what is that opinion?
What is that opinion?
She's 100% an idiot. Attack me. Fight me in the streets.
What are you talking about?
She has
produced so much music, and the music alone is new stuff.
Okay, I just need to get this out there. I need quiet for the air. Cut this out. We here at Quartermasters of the Tabletop Incorporated do not hold the same values as our friend Noah here. In fact, his address is...
Insert Taylor Swift's address.
Yeah, insert the website to her plane landing in Nashville again. All right,
that's a good one.
Okay, all right. Well,
anyways. Also, did you guys file letters of incorporation?
What?
Oh,
we're not talking about that.
Just checking.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You call those quartermasters Tabletop Incorporated, and I didn't realize we had incorporated.
Oh, that completely flew by my head.
Swung back into Bastards Inc. for a second there.
Oh man,
good times.
Well, anyways. Accidentally pulled up the Agents ref. I need
He's pulling up the wrong book yet again. Gonna do control after
it's
search.
Fine. As I'm trying to find it, I'm trying to pull up my copy of the PDF as well, and I've pulled up a totally different system that I saved.
Tyler is playing Fiasco, and Noah's gonna pull up some Iron God shit.
Iron Gods, if you had a Goo Tube right now, you might be able to get like.
Yeah, if you did.